This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I am Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your Bible to Psalm 113, where we left off last time. Psalm 113, verse 1. Now, this particular psalm is in what is called the Deuteronomy Book of Psalms, and Deuteronomy in the Hebrew means these are the words, so we're going to hear the words of God. Now, you want to know that Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, all of these psalms are called in the Hebrew the Hallel Songs, and that means praise, Hallel Songs. They were sung and are still to be sung at the Passover season. Now, you know that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, so Jesus is our Passover lamb. But we remember that the first Passover took place when the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt, and God told Moses to tell the Israelites to take one lamb without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, kill the lamb, put the lamb's blood in a basin, take a hyssop, and strike the doorpost and the lintel, which makes the sign of a cross. The Hebrew word there is tav. And God says, when the death angel sees the blood, death will pass over you. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 113 and 114 are to be sung before we have the Passover supper, Passover feast. Psalm 115 through 118 are to be sung after the Passover supper. Now, Jesus instituted the first communion, and if you'll remember, he said, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. It was a high Passover because he was about to be arrested, okay? And so, they would have sung, because it's in the Bible, and he is the Word, they would have sung Psalm 113 and 114 before he gave them his bread, his body, and his blood. And then remember the Gospels say, and they sang a hymn and went out. They would have sung 115 through 118, so I thought that might be interesting to you. Now, you might want to know that the Bible gives us the sermon. You don't need a man's sermon in 3 points. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, Paul said, read this epistle in the church. So that should be the sermon. But what you might not know is God's music book is in the Bible. That would be from Psalm 1 through the end of the Psalms, and we've been teaching our music lesson in the book of Psalms. So you see, God has everything that his church needs. We have the Word. This is what you should hear every time you assemble, the Word of God, and we sing the Psalms, songs from Psalms. Now, this particular one is entitled, Praise to Yahweh Himself, Yahweh being the sacred name of God.
Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. 3, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
All right, Christian, you just got a command. Now, that's not a if you'd like to. You have just been told from God's word to praise the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Okay, what is his name? It's our theme scripture here for Trumpet of Truth. Revelation 19:13, some of you know it, say it with me. His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Now, there in the Hebrew, not in English, it wasn't written in English, in the original manuscripts, it will call God's name Elohim, God the Creator. So let's all say, I praise you, Elohim. I praise you, Elohim. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, you will see the English word L-O-R-D in caps. In the manuscripts, that is Y-H-V-H. That is Yahweh. That is the covenant sacred name of the Lord. It is not Yahweh, and it's not Jehovah. It's Yahweh. So let's all say, I praise Yahweh. I praise Yahweh. Now, in Genesis 17:1, we have the name of the Lord from the manuscripts. It translates to El Shaddai, means the Lord my nourishment. If you keep studying that word El Shaddai, you'll find that it also goes back and it says the many-breasted God. But it's a figure of speech. It doesn't mean that God has breasts. It means he is sufficient to feed and nurture all of his children. So let's praise El Shaddai. Ready? I praise El Shaddai. And in Genesis 18:3, we have Adonai from the manuscripts. This would be Lord our Master. So let's praise the Lord our Master Adonai. I praise you, Adonai. Now, for time's sake, I won't go through the whole Bible. We have Yahweh Rapha, Exodus 15. He is the Lord who heals you. When Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, Isaac said, Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, Yahweh Yireh, my God will provide, okay? And then we have Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd, and so forth and so on. Now, you say, well, how can I praise the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun to going down the same? Okay, praise, you can say it out of your mouth. I make a deliberate attempt as soon as my eyes awaken to address God before I do anything else, before I get my head up off my little pillow there, and praise his name. Father, in Jesus' name, you are God. Okay, and you praise his name. And so you do that. But praise also means to honor. You may say it. You may sing it. You learn to multitask. Another way to honor, to praise his name, is that you would live like Jesus from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. But you are to praise his name. Say his name often. In the time of troubles, if you're sickness, Yahweh Rapha. If you need Yahweh Yireh. If you need guidance, Yahweh Rohi, my shepherd. You understand what I'm saying? So you keep, if you need nourishment, you're feeling lonely, El Shaddai. If you feel like you've been doing it all yourself and being the master, you say, Adonai, I yield, you be the master. You understand? Okay, here we go. Praise his name.
For the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God?
No one.
Who dwelleth on high?
Dwelleth on high is interesting. In the Hebrew manuscripts, original manuscripts there, it says, God exalts himself. Now, some of you say, well, goodness, I mean, maybe he's bigger than, you know, he thinks he's better than we are. He exalts himself because he is God. I mean, he created heaven and earth. Let me give you a little example. I do puppets. I have hand puppets. I have lap puppets. And on the 9/11 with love, I have finger puppets. They just slip on my finger. They are so tiny. One is the Uncle Sam. One is Lady Liberty. And one is the Eagle. They are so little. If they could talk, they would say, boy, are we little as compared to Sherry. And yet, all of you see that I'm a slender, petite woman. But you see, I would seem big to them. So, of course, God's bigger than we are. I mean, after all, he made us. I mean, he holds the world in his hands, after all. Now, I want to warn you, soon and very soon, the sixth trumpet shall sound. And the devil shall come pretending to be Jesus. The devil is the Antichrist. Christ means anointed one, Messiah. Anti means instead of. And he is going to stand where he ought not, calling himself God. The devil is going to exalt himself as God. Why, even in the first earth age, the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6 and Isaiah 14, Lucifer said, I will exalt myself above the stars of heaven. You know what stars means? Children of God minus the flesh. We were all there in our celestial bodies minus the flesh. And he said, I'm going to be God. So you be very, very, very careful that you're perpetually praising the name of the Lord. And since his name is the Word of God, if you're honoring the Word of God, you will not be deceived by this one who's soon coming to exalt himself above everybody.
Sixth, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth.
Now, you know, God's very busy. He's juggling all those planets up there and the moons and the stars and comets and so forth and planet Earth. And yet, he sees if a tiny little sparrow falls to the ground. God sees that and cares about the sparrow. And I know that he knows every feather on that tiny little bird's body. And the hairs of your head are numbered. God cares when you stub your toe. He knows about your upgoing and your outgoing and your incoming. He knows your idiosyncrasies. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. And he takes time for you. He is mindful of you. His mind is full of you because he loves you. Are you mindful of him? Are you meditating and praising his name, his word of God, day and night, 24 hours a day? Do you take time for him? He has time for you.
7, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill.
Now, usually in the Bible, poor, or in many instances, means someone who's humble and meek and teachable. In this case, in the manuscripts, it reads destitute. A dunghill is an outdoor toilet without walls. Now, because of Satan's rebellion in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, Satan rebelled, Isaiah 14, sin, like a sewage, started drowning God's children. If you will look around in America, we are in a sewage of corruption, of lies, of absolute self-worship. And you're walking in that sewage. God saw that, and he sent his son into this earth age to lift us up out of this dunghill of sin. Jesus let himself be lifted up. So if we will confess our sins and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, he will lift us up above this. Now we're still here in this sewage, and we have to live in it every day. But I found something about God. I can breathe in the fire. And you can breathe in the sewage. And the sewage won't choke you to death. You see, you're full of it. You go out of the door, the politics, the news, the government, the everywhere you turn, it's like that. There's almost nothing clean and pristine anymore. But you're in the sewage. What it means is you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're in this sewage, but you elevate your thinking, your spirit. You praise the name of the Lord, and you don't think of the sewage.
Amen.
8, that he may set him with princes.
Now, you can take the most vile, homeless person living in the woods, and they can accept Jesus, and if they would really get the truth of God in them, God would restore their lives and would bring them back home to live with the Prince of Peace. We had been abandoned from God's heaven, except the elect. Jesus came and will put us back into the house of the Prince of Peace.
Even with the princes of his people. 9, he maketh a barren woman to keep house.
Now we know about Hannah. Hannah had absolutely no children. This is in the flesh. And she asked God and he gave her children. So God says, yes, I give you children there while you're on earth. I even know all about that. He chooses that child that is to come through your womb. And you're very, very responsible from the moment that you know you're pregnant, before that really, to be prepared to bring that child up in the ways of God. But the third level, Paul taught on the third level. The third level here is that you, men of God, women of God, boys and girls of God, all of you are supposed to be perpetually birthing children, giving birth to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. See, for every time you go and take the time and call someone on the phone and say, I want to come and talk with you. May I make an appointment to talk with you? Could we have lunch today? And you go and sit beside them and you tell them of Jesus and you tell them why they're here. Tell them of Lucifer's rebellion and you pray with them to receive Jesus. You have birthed a child. And as you praise the name of the Lord continually, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you'll birth more and more and more children. There's something about living in his name which lifts you up out of the sewage, which causes lost people to want to come and be born of Jesus Christ. How many children did you have this week? Did you even try? Now, I must say this, and I can use myself as a guinea pig. Many of us, and I am one of these, give every dollar that ever comes in our hand to God's work. I have absolutely no luxury. If you knew how I lived, you would feel sorry for me, but I think I'm the richest person in the world. Every cent goes to the work of God. I'm sending mine on ahead, and I'm very happy about it. And you can do that. Maybe you give generously to God's work, but that does not mean that you are not supposed to one-on-one witness. See, if all I ever did was give every cent I had to get the word of God, that's a good thing. I am still personally accountable for everybody I meet, and so are you. You are not exempt from witnessing just because you give money to get God's word out. You're supposed to do both. I do.
And to be a joyful mother of children, praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord is Hallel. Now we go to Psalm 114, which also is sung before the Passover meal, and Jesus would have sung this. And this tells us of Israel's redemption, deliverance, shall I say, from Egypt. Remember, they were in bondage and slavery, and you were in bondage and in slavery to sin, and Jesus came and delivered you up out of the miry clay of the dunghill of sin.
Psalm 114, verse 1. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language.
That would mean the children of Israel spoke Hebrew. Did you know that Hebrew is the language of the angels? And they spoke Hebrew, but the strange language was Egyptian. For 400 years, the Israelites had been there. Now, you know what they did? They mingled with the dunghill. Now, America, let me speak to you, Christians in America. You are mingling with the strange language of America. Our language used to be Jesus. Our language used to be the Bible, the Word of God. But once you go out of the door in your school, in the government, in the politics, on the television, and on your social area, some of you in your homes, there is no Word of God. It's a strange language. Do not blend with that. Do not blend with that. In your homes, let your home, let the word be your language. If it's not there, say, I'm taking over. The word is my language. We never blend with a strange language. Our language is the word of God, his name.
Amen. Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion.
Now, the word was here is very important, so everybody listen carefully. It says Judah was his sanctuary. This word was in the Hebrew reads tuhu vabuhu. You don't have to remember that. But it means in the English became. So you would read this, Judah became the sanctuary. Okay, David was of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus came through by Mary's father, the tribe of Judah. He came through the tribe of Levi by Mary's mother. Another teaching for another time. When David conquered Jebus and renamed it Jerusalem, David put up a tent there and brought the Ark of the Covenant and worshiped God. And the tent there was the sanctuary. Now, when David's son Solomon, also of the tribe of Judah, built the temple, that was the sanctuary. Now, you were lost in your sin, and Jesus came in. He is the king. And when he came in, now you are the temple of the living God. You are a sanctuary. So wherever you go, you are bringing the presence of God to everybody you meet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, about the word was. This word was, Judah became, is the same word in the manuscripts as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now, let me go back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Now, that was time, eons and eons and eons and eons. It was perfect. Everything was great. Okay? We were not in our flesh bodies yet. Verse 2 says, and it was without form and void. The word was there in Genesis 1, 2 is in italics. That means that's not what it said. The Hebrew word is tuhu vabuhu. It means it became without form and void. That's because God shook it because Satan rebelled between verse 1 and 2, and God brought in this second earth age. You can't create something void. You see, it would be empty, it would be nothing. But it became that way because of Satan's rebellion in the first earth age. So see, Judah was not the sanctuary in Egypt. They were mingling with the gods of Egypt, as you're going to find in a few of these psalms coming up here, how they still wanted to worship those gods of Egypt.
3. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back.
Okay, as soon as they got out, okay, they're delivered from slavery. Now, see, as soon as you got saved, whoo, you're saved, okay? Now, the next step after you get saved is to study God's Word, to be discipled in the Word. And that doesn't mean one verse and 3 points or quarterly a book about the book. It means Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I do it here. And book, chapter, verse, and line. But what happens is Satan puts a wall before you. And so they could do no good. Although they had been saved, delivered, there's this big Red Sea. Well, God took over and moved the Red Sea. So see, some of you fight hearing the word of God. As soon as you get saved, I'm going to grow in the word of God, and then you get the job and you get the promotion and you get this, and company comes by and Christmas comes and this comes, and so there you are. Now let that Red Sea part, for heaven's sakes, and keep on walking. Now what happened then? Okay, the process of absorbing the word, trying to learn the word, finally the ones that were left of them under 20 and Joshua and Caleb get to the promised land. Oh boy, at last we're going to get to the promised land. I mean, there you are. You've lived for God. You're finally getting the word. He gave you a promise. He told you something to do. And it never seems it's going to ever, ever, ever come to pass. That promise just looks like it's dead. And lo and behold, Satan puts another wall up before you. It's the Jordan River. Well, how do you get that one down? The priest, the tribe of Levi, took the Ark of the Covenant on those staves, which they were directed to carry it that way, that contained the word of God, the Ten Commandments, and they put one foot in the water and the waters parted. What you do, Christians, once you get saved, you get every word of God. And no matter what the devil puts before you, take the word of God and take the first step. Walk on the water. Hallelujah. And you will not drown. So they got into the promised land.
For the mountain skips like rams, and the little hills like lambs.
God is a poet. Don't we know it? Many times the scriptures rhyme. Many times the scriptures rhyme. Okay, this is talking about Exodus 19, when God called Moses up to Mount Sinai to give the Ten Commandments and the law. And God is a consuming fire, so that Mount Sinai shook and thundered, and the people thought, where in the world is God?
5. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back?
The author, who is anonymous here, the psalmist, kind of teases and says, hey, Red Sea, what caused you to part? Hey, Jordan, what caused you to move? See, and you can say, devil, what caused you to take your hand off of my body? Because I am with Jesus' stripes healed. And devil, what made you think you could stop and block me? My God goes before me and makes the crooked way straight.
6. Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs.
This is definitely a poet. Mountains also means the nations, and the hills are the governments. At the seventh trump, when Jesus comes with a great shaking and a great trembling and a great, great, great majestic entrance, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I pray, God, give me some wailers in our prayer meeting. Give me some people who will wail in prayer. It's not pretty. Wail. And God will hear you.
Amen. 7. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord.
God told Jeremiah, I shook the earth once. And he's talking about the first earth age when Satan rebelled. That's what brought in the second earth age. And he said, I'm going to shake it again. He has already done that. Hebrews said he would. America has been shaken completely. Only God can save us now. Most of our lives, the whole planet is reeling like a drunken sailor now, as you heard on the radio recently. And so the world is being shaken. Hebrews says, only the things that remain, only that which cannot be shaken will remain. Are you rooted and grounded? Are you glued to the name of God? His name is called the Word of God.
At the presence of the God of Jacob, 8, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters.
He's talking about the rock of Meribah there, the waters of Meribah, where Moses, who was supposed to speak to the rock, struck it twice, but the water came out. Now, Jesus is the living water. Remember the woman at the well who had had all those men? Do you know she didn't mean to be promiscuous? She was looking for love, and that's the only way that she knew how to find love. And Jesus told her, if you will drink of the water I give, you will never thirst again. We need water to sustain our flesh bodies, but we need the living water to sustain our eternal soul.
Psalm 115, verse 1.
Now, Psalm 115, we'll go just a little bit here. We're going to find that Israel would be delivered from the idols of Egypt. Remember, I told you, they walked with them, they lived with them, and just like you in America, look at your young people. They dress just like everybody else. They act just like everybody else. They talk just like everybody. Christian, we're supposed to be different. Come out and be separate.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Verse 2, wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God?
Okay, when the Antichrist comes, and Revelation 13 says the whole world will go after him. Remember, he's the devil with his Jesus costume on. And even half of the body of Christ, because five are wise and five are foolish, half do not have the truth. They are going to say, the world's going to say to the little minority group of elect, that other five, where is your God? Our God is here. Now, when the children of Israel got out of Egypt, and Moses went up there with God and stayed all that time, the children of Israel said, where is Moses? Where is God? We know God is with Moses, so there must not be God. Where is God? So that's when they decided to make one they could see. See, they still had not gotten out of the dunghill of idols of Egypt. Don't you blend with this culture that is America now. Jesus is your Lord. The Bible is your book. Purity, holiness to the Lord.
Three, but our God is in the heavens.
That's where our God is. We'll say our God is coming. The seventh trump's going to sound. He's coming.
Done whatsoever he hath pleased. For their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Five, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Six, they have ears, but they hear not.
Noses have they, but they smell not.
Seven, they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat.
The devil can't get the word out of his idols because our God is the Word. His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Eight, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them.
Those little idols are spiritually dead. If you worship them, you're spiritually dead. Now, I want to be careful what I say because we all love our children. We love our families. But if your child is your idol, remember that God used you to make the child. You ate all that nourishment that built his little body. Of course, God gives life. So you don't want to worship something you made. Love your child, but make your God God. Just thought I'd put that in. I felt led. God bless you. Love your children, but love God better.
Nine, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
Oh, house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
Israel would be all 12 tribes, a natural seed. Really, Jacob is the natural seed. House of Aaron would be the priesthood. So all of you pastors, missionaries, evangelists, preachers, priests listening out there, he says for you to trust in the Lord. I know sometimes you don't know what to do, and you don't know how to take care of the sheep because you're a bit ornery, but he's your help, pastor. He's your shield, pastor. And of course, all ye that fear the Lord, both small and great, Gentiles, whosoever will may come. He is your help, and he is your shield. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus comes at the seventh trump. The Antichrist, who is the devil pretending to be Jesus, comes at the sixth trump. He's the Antichrist. We are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning. That is why God has me speaking to you. This is the fifth trump, a part of it. Now, may we hear the fifth trumpet, please. Questions and answers. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, where in the Bible does it say that women should not wear men's clothes? Deuteronomy 22. But let me explain something. In Bible times, men wore skirts. So see, if we wear skirts now as women, we'd be dressed as a man. So see, that's a little red light. In the Bible, when you look up a word in your Strong's Exotic Concordance or your Green's Lineal, sometimes it won't tell you what it means in the Hebrew. So that's where a little learning is a dangerous thing. In other words, the word clouds will just say clouds, but you have to know more than that. There are Hebraisms, figures of speech, and idioms. This means that a woman is not to take the place of a man in a sexual act. Flip the coin. A man is not to take the place of a woman in a sexual act. Now, I better move along. dear Sherry, when the Antichrist comes, is he actually going to call himself the Savior? Absolutely. In the book of Revelations, those first few chapters there, where Jesus is addressing the faults, especially the faults of the church, he's saying that some of the churches are going to worship Theosata, that'll be the devil, and it means God's Savior. Yes, the Antichrist will call himself God's Savior. Do you know what Jesus' name means in the manuscript? Yahweh's Savior. See the copycat? In the first earth age, who was Lucifer there, called Lucifer, rebelled, Isaiah 14. He called himself the morning star. In Revelation 22, Jesus calls Jesus the morning star. Satan is coming back, Theosata, as Christ. Christ means the anointed one, Messiah. That's Jesus. Anti means the instead of. So see, he's coming back to play Jesus. There you have it. Be careful. Okay, next question. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 21, it says that all sorcerers shall go to hell, or walk into the lake of fire. What kind of a sin is that? Who are the sorcerers? Okay, the sorcerers, that would be from the Greek, is a Greek word, pharmacia, and it means a drug pusher. Okay, it does not mean your nice little pharmacist who chops those pills that the doctor prescribes for you to cure your pain, but if he pushes them too much, illegal drugs, drug pushers. Now, out there in cyberspace, there is a drug pusher listening to me. And in the mighty name of Jesus, if you will stop and repent and make Jesus the Lord, I'm going to pray the prayer of salvation in a moment, and turn from that and stop it right now, you will be saved and you will not have to walk into the lake of fire. Oh, sorcerers, drug pushers, God even loves you. Be saved. Be saved now. Okay, next question. Dear Sherry, in the minor prophet Zephaniah, in chapter 3, it says, prophet's light. What does that mean? Okay, it's a prophecy of what would be going on in the pulpit today. Prophet is an anointed speaker, a man, a woman with the anointing of God, teaching, supposedly teaching God's word. But it would mean that they are teaching light word. You've heard of Bud Light? Y'all aren't supposed to hear that. He took the zinger out of the beer, okay? Bud Light, you've heard of white, light red, okay? They take the zinger out. So, in other words, the milk of the word, but never the meat of the word. Jesus says man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need to know the mystery of God, which goes back into the three heaven and earth ages. You can never get the whole plan unless you know that, because that was when that Jesus said, I am the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth, before the catabole even. So, see, you need to, if you have every word of God, it's a pretty heavy meal. I serve a heavy meal here, 10 course, come and dine. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Dear Sherry, what does a Christian have to do? What is the most important ingredient of a Christian to serve the Lord? The most important ingredient is answered by Paul in Titus chapter 1. He says, holding forth the faithful word of God. Holding forth would be, if you could see me now, I would be holding an invisible silver platter to you, and I would be holding you every word of God, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the mystery, the third level of which Paul spoke. And so he says, everybody who's going to serve God, you are accountable to carry the word of God to everybody you meet and help get it out to the whole wide world. Now, I've had people call me and say, well, I don't think I want to study that much, Sherry, so I'll just be an evangelist. No, 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 no. An evangelist, if you're in the pulpit, you must know every word of God. Sorry about that. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right? Dividing the word of truth. How can you deliver people with the word if you don't know the word? Everybody's supposed to know the word of God. That's your first thing, and we offer that here. Dear Sherry, have you heard of the writing Targon of Jonathan? Yes, I have heard of the writing of Targon of Jonathan. It is a history account which happens to be true, and it verifies about those two ambassadors Pharaoh sent out to meet Moses. Their names are Jannes and Jambres. Paul talks about them. God had told Moses to go down to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Well, Moses went down there, and Pharaoh sent out Jannes and Jambres. The Targon of Jonathan verifies this. Moses threw down his rod, he and Aaron, and Moses' rod turned into a serpent. Jannes and Jambres, those two ambassadors, threw down their rods, and they turned into snakes also. But guess what? Moses' serpent swallowed the other two serpents, which means death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is thy victory? Or vice versa. Hallelujah. There are lots of writings that verify God's word. The Targum of Jonathan is one that talks about Jannes and Jambres. We do not need history books to verify the word of God. I believe the word of God if nobody else believes it. But it is good God does give us that. History verifies that the 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains and settled in Europe. All of that is verified. And of course, we know we migrated over the Atlantic Ocean into Canada and into these Americas. Time for one more question. Dear Sherry Trumpet, who is that playing the piano at the end of your teaching on the radio? Well, it is I. Thank you for noticing. I felt led to play just a few measures there and have it recorded each time. The Our Father, the words would be, "For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen." Thank you for noticing the music. It's highly anointed, and to God be all the glory. He anoints the music as well as the word. Okay, now if anybody out there is not saved, I want you to come and live with me in Father's house forever. So please pray this prayer and mean it, and let's all be saved. Ready, go. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me of them all.
Please forgive me of them all.
Sins of omission.
Sins of omission.
Sins of commission.
Sins of commission.
I believe the blood of Jesus.
I believe the blood of Jesus.
Was shed.
Was shed.
For the remission of my sins.
For the remission of my sins.
Lord Jesus, save me.
Lord Jesus, save me.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Give me eternal life.
Give me eternal life.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Help me to birth many children.
Help me to birth many children.
Into the kingdom of God.
Into the kingdom of God.
Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I love you.
I love you.
Amen. Now, the Bible says confession is made into salvation. You might want to call and tell me you were saved. My announcer at the end of the program will give you my telephone number. Now I want to speak to all of you who are sick. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, Father, I ask, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow through the airways now. And wherever there is cancer, we call you to die, cancer. Desist. Go, cancer. Be gone in Jesus' name. Lungs, breathe. Ears open. Eyes see. Legs walk. Let the healing virtue of Jesus flow. Men, women, boys, and girls, rise, take up your bed and walk. Be healed in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. Oh, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is God. He is Yahweh Rapha, the God who healeth thee. Now, you might like to tell me you were healed. Again, my announcer will give you my number. By the way, you may call me for prayer for healing or prayer for anything. You'll always get my voicemail because that's the only way I can handle it. But just leave your name, speak clearly, and I will pray for you. I do want to say that I am not able to return long-distance calls. I live by faith, get no salary, and the long-distance calls in my school are commercial rates, so I just can't do that. But just leave your number and your prayer request, and I promise you that you're your name will go up really every day. I love you. God bless you. Now, I want you to praise the Lord's name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. For all of you here and present on tape, radio, internet, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord give you peace. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, when you think of Jesus, Yeshua, remember, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is called the Word of God. We praise your name, O Lord. I love you. See you next time.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
See the teacher sitting on a mountain. See him walking along the shore. Friends and disciples gathering around him, say, never spake a man like this before. But wise a man as wise as he, weeping alone in Gethsemane. Did he know some would never see the head? Walking on the water, hear him speak in calm and angry way. Look at him raising up Jairus' daughter, and with a word Lazarus comes forth from the grave. But why is a man as strong as this being betrayed by a good friend's kiss? Could it be that maybe this man missed the heaven in his eyes? I'm not talking about the pie in the sky that your good boys and girls get in the by and by. If we've got the guts to try. See the teacher playing with the children, hear him baffle doctors of the law. Look at the people gathering to go with him, those who see the vision that he saw. Why a man as holy as he had to die alone on Calvary? It was the only way that we could ever see the heaven in his eyes. The heaven. Jesus already.
stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power.